if you've never needed peace before, you don't really understand. I mean, in the midst of your storm, in the midst of what you're going through, somehow God gave you peace in the midst of your storm. A peace that surpasses all understanding. Anybody know God can give you peace? Is there anybody that need God to give you peace today? Is there anybody asking God, God, I just need some peace. Peace in my home, peace on my job, peace at church. I just need some peace.
Thank you, Jesus.
Oh, 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 Amen. Surely we serve a God that can give you peace in the midst of your trials and tribulations.
Amen.
That sometimes God will not move the problem. God will not get you out of the situation.
That's right.
But how many can be a witness that God will give you peace in the midst of your situation, in the midst of your trials and your tribulation. God will give. Folk don't understand how you smile through what you're going through. It's because God has given you peace. Amen. Thank you, Sister Herrick, for blessing our hearts today. Amen. Amen. There's a word that I want to lift from the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 15, beginning at verse number 25. Amen. Luke chapter 15, beginning at verse number 25. If you've been in church any length of time, certainly you are familiar with our text today. Amen, amen. It reads thusly. Now his elder son was in the field, and he came and drew nigh to the house. He heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, thy brother is come, and thy father has killed the fatted calf, because he has received him safe and sound. And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out to entreat him. And he answering said to his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which has devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. Amen. Amen. I want to talk today about the selfish brother. The selfish brother. This is one of the most famous of Jesus' parabolic messages. And it's one parable told in three movements. It's a story about a lost sheep, a lost coin, and finally, a lost son. In this last movement of the parable, this certain man has two sons, and both of them are lost. We enjoy the story of the prodigal son because we follow him as he moves away from his father's house. We watch him as he ventures out into the far country and enjoys himself with riotous living. We can see him with his pants hanging down, pocket full of money, sitting at the table with wine, women, and song. We follow his every move. because he reminds us so much of us. Then the thing we most enjoy is the reunion when he comes to himself in the pig pen and reasons and returns. We enjoy when he comes back to his senses and makes his way back to his father's house. We are excited when the father kills the fatted calf. We are glad that there is music and dancing. The father runs out to greet him. He hugs him. He smothers him with kisses, and the story is joyous. And we stop there because we enjoy the younger son. But the older brother, who is really one of us, because not everybody in here has been in the far country. Not everybody here has smoked weed. Not everybody here has partied all night. Not everybody here has been on drugs. Most of us here don't have that testimony. Most of us have been in church all of our lives, been in Sunday school, Bible study, prayer meeting, BTU, been in church all our lives. So we know nothing about being drunk all night long. We know nothing about drugs. We don't know what a roach is other than it climbs on the wall. We don't know what crack is other than it's something we see around the wall. We don't know what pot is other than it's something you cook in. So we don't have the testimony of the younger son. But we've been in church so long that we've forgotten what it feels like to be lost. So I want to talk to you today about the older brother, because I see myself in this story. The younger boy was lost as a hedonist. He gave himself to wild pleasure. He was lost as a hedonist, but the older brother was lost as a moralist, because while this younger boy enjoyed pleasure, this older boy lived to maintain appearances. One was a hedonist, one was a moralist. Both of them are lost. The younger boy is lost in the far country, which is a geographical location, but the elder boy is lost in the house, which is a spiritual condition. And a whole lot of folks sitting in here today, you're in the right place, but you're lost as you can be, because your spirit is not right. Your head is not right with loving your neighbor and praying for those that despitefully miss you. You're in church every Sunday, but you're lost. So it matters not whether you're in the house or out of the house, you're still lost. And there are two ways you can be lost. One is to break the rules and do everything you please, like the younger boy. The other way is to keep all the rules, be good, and still be lost like the older boy. We don't get this because we equate being good with being saved. But listen, if you're only being good to the ear to earn favor with God, you're lost. If you keep all the rules so that God will hear your prayers and bless your life, you are still lost, because the gospel is not be good and you will be saved. The gospel is be saved and you will be good. Listen, you cannot be good by coming to church, because if coming to church could make you a Christian, climbing a tree could make you a squirrel. You must be born again. How many know a whole lot of folk come to church every Sunday gonna bust hell wide open, because coming to church does not save you. You've got to know Christ as your personal Savior. And the word says there's none good save the Father. Look at this older boy and see if you can't see yourself in the story. Go home, get on your knees and ask God to forgive you for not going to the party. Look at his respectability in verse number 25. Look at his respectability. The elder son was in the field. He was in the field. Now, being the elder son made him a leader. Being in the field made him a laborer. But he was still lost. He was a leader and a laborer, but still lost. Now, in verse 11 and 12, the younger boy says to the father, "Give me the portion of good that falls to me." He takes his father's property, liquidates it into cash, takes out for the big city lights. Now, according to Jewish customs and Jewish tradition, the older boy was responsible for stopping his younger brother from disrespecting his father. I'm going somewhere, because as the older son, he's the leader in the family. He does not even come around when his younger brother leaves. We see no signs of him when the younger brother disrespects his father. The older boy is supposed to step in, put a stop to it, but he wants him to leave. The reason he wants him to leave is everything that is left will fall to him. So he does not even say goodbye to his brother. He lets him leave, take his journey, disrespect his father without opening his mouth. Now, I don't think any one of us would stand for a brother or sister or stranger disrespecting our parents. I wish I had a witness in here. Listen. You cross the line when you do that. Now, I may let you get away with a little bit more talking about my daddy. I might give you some wiggle room talking about my daddy, but we're going to fight if you're talking about my mama. Oh, come on, y'all. Come on, y'all may as well be honest in here. You know, we can deal with you talking back to daddy a little bit, but don't you talk back to mama. Because if nobody stands up for them, I will. And somebody in your family ought to be man enough and woman enough to stand up for your mama and your daddy. But this boy does not intervene and tell his brother, you're making the wrong choice, because he wants him gone. He's a laborer. He's in the field when he hears music and dancing. He's in the field working, doing what he's supposed to be doing, but without a pure heart. Now look at his resentment. He does not love his younger brother, nor does he love his aging father. His resentment is seen in his motive. His resentment is seen in his mentality. Look at what he says. He says, your son. Not my brother, but your son has wasted your goods on prostitutes. Stay with me. Now, Reverend Welch, he has not talked to the father. Reverend McCaskey has not talked to the brother to know what he spent the money on. But he assumes he's spending on prostitutes because that's what he would have done had he had the opportunity. And a whole lot of us assume folk do things that we would like to do, but just hadn't had enough nerve to do. And we usually judge them by what we would do if we were presented with the same opportunity. And that's why you ought not stand in judgment of other folk who have made some mistakes. Maybe you hadn't done it, but you thought about it. And the word says, so a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And if you thought about it, you're just as guilty as the one that did it. No, you didn't lay with her, but you thought about it. You didn't lay with him, but you thought about it. You hadn't smoked no dope, but you wondered what it feel like to smoke some dope. Listen, there's none good save the father. I see some of y'all elder brothers cringing in here. I see y'all looking at me. You've never been high. You've never been drunk. You've never been without a drink in your hand, but you've been in church mad. You've been in God's presence dissatisfied. God gave you blessings, showered you with his goodness, blessings you didn't even ask for, and you come in his presence every week and never open your mouth. I dare you to act like an older brother. I see you in that three-piece suit, that Macy's dress. You shine whenever you come in a room, but underneath that makeup, underneath that three-piece suit, underneath that portfolio curriculum vitae is a heart of anger and resentment against other people who did what you would have done if you had had the same opportunity. Let me tell you something. You're not so moral. You're not so holy. You just ain't had a chance yet. And let me say this. The only old people that don't act like, that don't like young people are old people who didn't have fun while they were young. Can I say that again? The only old people that don't like young people are old people that didn't have fun while they were young. I wish I had some old folk in here today who, if you can't stand up, just raise your hand and let these young people know, when I was your age, child, I had some fun. I did whatever I was big and bad enough to do, so I'm not going to sit in judgment of you, because when I was young, I had my fun. Can I get two or three of y'all old folk in here that don't mind being witness? I had my fun. Let me look back here in the choir. I see y'all back there, Sister Moore. I see you raising your hand. I had my fun. You enjoyed your youth. And now that you're past that, you're ready to enjoy the Lord. See, once you get past being young, you come to understand that God's been good to you in your youth. Now you got enough sense to realize who it was that brought you. Very few of us had any real sense in our 20s and 30s. Come on, be honest in here, because you think you're going to live forever. But when you get in your 40s, 50s, 60s, and 70s, you start to realize that the rope behind you is longer than the rope in front of you. And you start learning how to thank God for the small stuff. Can I get somebody in here to say, God, I thank you for the small stuff. Thank you that I woke up this morning. Thank you that I'm in my right mind. Thank you that I got food on my table. Thank you I got a job to go to in the morning. Thank you for a reasonable portion of health and strength. Thank you. Older brother says, your son, not my brother, your son has wasted your goods on prostitutes. Look at his reasoning. Look at his reasoning. He says, all these years, I've been serving you. Look how lost this boy is. He says, all these years I've been serving you. That word serving in the text translated means all these years I've been your slave. And you never gave me a party. He has been all these years his father's son, but for all these years he's regarded himself as a slave. You've got sonship and you acting like a slave. You've got privileges and you acting like a slave. All these years, you've never told me to invite my friends and have a party for me. Did it occur to him that he never asked? Because he could have had the same thing if he had simply asked. God does not want to withhold anything from you. All you got to do is ask. Don't resent when God is blessing somebody else. Just ask. Don't get mad when God is opening doors for somebody else. Just ask. Don't get mad when God is making a way for somebody else. Just ask. Tell your neighbor, don't get mad. Just ask. That was the wrong neighbor. Tell the other neighbor, don't get mad. Just ask. Ask and it shall be given. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened unto you. How many know that if you ask God, God will give you the desires of your heart. Don't get upset with somebody because they saved their money and spent wisely. Now they can go wherever they want to go, and you here you are 71 and can't retire because you spent all your money in the far country. Don't hate on her because she's looking good in her 60s because she didn't waste her life in the club. And you and your tattoos start up here, but now they're down to here. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh. If you take care of yourself while you're young, you'll look good when you get old. I wish I had a witness in here today. The older boy is mad at his brother who won't get anything. The father says, everything is yours, and you still mad. What is God going to have to do for some of us to get you to praise his name? When you're sick, who healed you? When you were broke, who put money in your pocket? When you were down to your last dime, who stepped in right on time? When you were lost and on your way to hell, who reached down and saved you? What is it going to take just to get you to say thank you? I wish I had a witness in here today. The last thing about this elder brother, he's as lost in the house as the younger boy was in the far country. He's just as disrespectful because while the party's going on, he disrespects his father by refusing to come in. His father has to leave his guests, go outside, and the text says to entreat him. That word entreat literally means that the father went outside and begged him to come into the house. Said, son, don't act like that. It all belongs to you. I've always loved you. You're my oldest child. Don't act like that. Your brother is home. He was lost and now he's found. He was dead and now alive. Don't act like that. And I've seen some church folk act just like that. Members who may have lost their way, members who may have gotten outside the ark of safety and decide to come back to church, and we look down our nose at them. What they doing here? You know what they've been doing out there? Why are they in here? Well, if they in here, listen, if you in here, they got a right to be in here. Because even at our best, and I'm talking to the good folk in here today, even at our best, we're nothing more than filthy rags. But don't act like that. Come on in to the party. I'm begging you to come in and have a good time. The text closes open-ended because we don't know up until now if the elder brother ever went into the party. Can I tell you why I think Jesus left it like that and then we're going to have a party? I think Jesus left it that way to us to not only see ourselves in the story, but for us to write our own ending to the story. I'll go ahead and preach, boy. I believe I will. The choice is yours. You can stay outside if you want to, or you can come in the party if you want to. But the party ain't going to stop because you stay outside. I believe I said something there because some of y'all think y'all so important to Mount Moriah. Some of y'all think y'all so important to other churches that if you don't come to the party, it ain't going to be no party. The devil is a liar. Don't show up next Sunday. Somebody's going to come in here and praise the Lord anyhow. This ain't my church. This ain't the deacon's church. This is the Lord's church. And I heard Jesus say, upon this rock I will build my church and the gates of hell and nobody else shall prevail against it. Well, Reverend Washington, I believe I know how I'm going to write the ending of the story for myself. You can stay outside and pout if you want to. You can stay outside and be mad if you want to. But I'm going to the party. I'm going in the house. There's partying going on in the house. I'm not staying outside with you, sour older brothers. Too many of us come to church and never enjoy God. We hear Bible stories. We hear sermons. We keep our heads down the entire worship. We never say amen. We never say thank you, Jesus. We never appreciate what God has done. We never lift our hands. We never give God glory because we come to church and pout. sit down and sit unmoved. And if you got a right to be in the sanctuary, how many know you don't have a right to be here? It's by his grace and mercy that he allows you to be here. None of us have a right to be in here today. By right, all of us ought to be dead and in our graves. But how many know you don't deserve to be here, and it's by the grace of God that you are here. You can stay outside and pout with the older brother if you want to, but I'm going in the house. I'm going to where the music is. I'm going to where the dancing is. Because that's where the Father is. I've got to close now, but is there anybody here want to go with me in the house? Leave them people pouting sitting next to you. Get away from them mad folk next to you. Stop fooling with people who are always mad at church. Come with me to my Father's house. There's joy in my Father's house. There's love in my Father's house. There's peace in my Father's house. Tell your neighbor, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Now I'm getting ready to close, but I need to talk to some of these old folk in here today. Some of y'all like me can remember how you used to carry on at the house party. You would start dancing before you got to the party. You would start drinking before you got to the party. And by the time you got to the party, you already had your buzz on. By the time you got to the party, you'd already practiced your dance. You'd already laid out your party clothes. But since I met Jesus, by the time I get to church, I already got my buzz on. By the time I get to church, I've laid out my clothes the night before, because I woke up this morning with my mind on Jesus. And I've got to leave you now, but is there anybody here want to get your praise on? Get away from pouting people. Come go with me to my Father's house. We're having a party. Everybody swinging, dancing to the music played by the band. Why don't you grab somebody and help me praise the Lord? Why don't you grab somebody and tell them, come go with me, there's a party going on. Come go with me, there's a party going on. Come on and praise the Lord with me. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Come on to the party. Come on, let's celebrate. Ain't he all right? Ain't the Lord all right? If you'll party with me, why don't you stand on your feet? If you'll party with me, grab your neighbor by the hand. Say, neighbor, excuse me. May I have this dance? Come on, let's lift him up. Come on, let's lift the name of Jesus. Come on, let's go to the party. Ain't he all right? Ain't the Lord all right? Can you say glory? Can you say glory? Party over here, party over there. Ain't no party like a Mount Moriah party. Wave your hand in the air. Wave them like you just don't care. Ain't he all right?
Can you say glory? Can you say glory? Come on in to the party. There's a party going on. Don't stay outside. Come on in to the party. And the good thing is it won't leave you with a hangover. Amen. If you're here today, maybe. Yeah. 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 Anybody here want to go to the party? All this is a dress rehearsal. When I get to heaven, y'all don't hear me. When I get to heaven, you talk about a party, I'm going to dance all over heaven. Thank God I made it over. If you're here today, maybe. Maybe you've been like this older brother. Maybe you've been standing on the outside. Mad about something happened 50 years ago. It won't go into the party. You ought to not stay on the outside, but you ought to come in where the party is going on. There's love in the house. There's joy in the house. There is peace and salvation in the house. Come on and come to the party. If you're here today, you ought to come by letter, by Christian experience, as a candidate for baptism. Would you come today?